Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Bees Blank, I'm Branham. Not Brendan behind the glass. Sean Mapes filling in for Brendan Riley. So the Killer Bees are not whole. We are not complete, but Sean will do a marvelous job. Where do you think Brendan's at? Where could Brendan possibly be?
Probably in the middle of, like...
Is there a Lions game we didn't know
16
about?
16 pseudo fantasy football one-day matchups or... A Madden tournament.
Could be.
Or a Madden tournament. One or the other.
I hope he's taking advantage of all of that.
I can tell you this. He better be outside.
It's a gorgeous
day. Oh, my goodness. This morning in the 60s with no humidity.
Felt great.
I opened the door and went, are you kidding me? Is this Houston?
You know what it felt like? Fall.
Okay. Oh.
It felt a little bit like fall.
For one day. I think this is going to last for 3 days.
Yeah, I was looking at the weather, because I'll be at TDECU Stadium on Friday, which you should be as well. The weather there's, I mean, it's going to be awesome. High of 83 on Friday. High of 83
that's
with
perfect.
A low of 55.
Oh, that's
perfect. I mean, it's going to be outstanding.
Hey, by the way.
Cannot wait.
Any of you listeners out there on the southwest side, let us know. I was taking the exit off of 59 to get to the station, and I looked in my rearview mirror.
You got a bird?
What?
Did you get another bird?
No. I looked in my rearview mirror getting on the exit. The nastiest, largest black cloud of smoke was consuming a quarter of the sky in Houston. And it literally looked like it was something really, really big and important. And I'm going, what's on fire? Like, what just happened?
I saw something on Twitter that there was a building on fire. I don't know if that was the same thing.
Boy, the whole sky was like dark plumes of black smoke.
Could this have been it? I saw this earlier on Twitter.
But that was all over the sky. Maybe that was it. Yeah, it was about like that.
Yeah, something's on fire. Something's on fire in the city
of
Houston.
Oh, that was a good assessment. Hopefully someone can give me some more details than that.
That's the
something's on fire. Okay.
That's the kind of lazy analysis we give here on the Killer Bees.
A marketing tool right there. Make that a promo.
Did you watch some Monday Night Football yesterday?
Yeah, I struggled through it. The struggle bus. Look, I think the positives are, if you're a Cowboy fan for sure, Cooper Rush, there's no quarterback controversy, and that's a stupidity of Jerry Jones, followed up by the media jumping on board with it, and then McCarthy...
Why wouldn't you, though? Why wouldn't you jump on
board
with that?
Because there's no controversy. You're paying Dak a boatload of money. It's a good... You know what?
But
the guy's doing his job.
But it's funny to make fun of Jerry Jones for saying it.
Oh, absolutely. I'll make fun of Jerry Jones 100 times out of 100. But I'm just saying, like, for the people that would really believe, oh, there's a quarterback controversy, maybe Dak's going to have to fight for his job when he comes back. Shut up, okay? Because the one thing you know is you've got a capable backup quarterback, which is a good commodity to have in this league, but there's no controversy. I'm surprised because one of the big knocks on Rush was his arm strength, and the ball that he put in CeeDee Lamb's breadbasket was a pretty deep throw, and he looks like he can make all the throws.
What if it's not a quarterback controversy? I don't know why Jerry Jones said that. I think there's some theories that Jerry Jones said that so they could not pay attention to the real controversy.
Maybe.
That is Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard at the running back spot.
Or kind the of fact like, that you didn't put Dak on the injured list.
I heard that was more to practice. Like, I mean, you can carry up to 53 dudes and you can only make 48 of them active on game day.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really matter? Like, it doesn't matter a ton. You're not going to have him on the active roster anyways. Like, the fact that he's on the 53, he's not going to be on the game day 48.
Or four, if it's IL, four. Isn't it? It's still four?
Yeah. But there's also some practice rules involved. Like, if you go on it, you can't. I think you can't practice with the team for those 4 weeks as well. So they want, like, he might not play in four games, but they wanted him, like, at practice and to do some of the things you can't do if you're on the IL.
That makes sense. I just think that, what you know, you look at even Russell Wilson, who had a similar injury a year ago. There's no way he's not going to be back in a month. I mean, it's going to be a minimum, I think, of 4 weeks. And that's on a really, really, you know, fast-paced schedule to get him back out. So I didn't understand that, but I can tell you this. there will be teams at the deadline that will inquire about Cooper Rush if they're really bad and they need a, and you know, they're looking for a young quarterback they can try and
Well, he's not young. How 28, 29?
Okay. Well, the, guess who might be calling if he still has a job? Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule? I don't know about that.
Once he clears Baker and he clears Sam Darnold, look, he's grasping at straws. He's like Indy.
But if you're Dallas, you're not trading Cooper Rush. I mean, unless somebody just blows you away with a trade offer. Like, I mean, I was just going to ask you, because, like, no, there's not any controversy between Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush. There shouldn't be. But maybe it makes a leash a little bit shorter for Dak Prescott in case he stumbles and has some trouble. Maybe you can wait an extra week for Dak Prescott to recover.
I'll give you the insurance policy. I'm not going to say that it's going to make Dak panic at all.
No, it shouldn't. I don't want to be extreme and egregious and say stupid things. Now, as I was watching that game, because Cooper Rush made some things happen in the fourth quarter, right? Like, he did some things in the fourth quarter that brought Dallas a little bit of juice. He certainly helped the Cowboys go on to that win on the road against New York with some of the things that he did in the fourth quarter. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, we know who Cooper Rush is. We never really thought Cooper Rush was going to be winning NFL games at the start of this season. But if the Houston Texans had Cooper Rush, I believe they would be 3-0. I think they would have won every single one of their games to this point. I don't think Cooper Rush blows a 20-3 lead in week one. I think he at least has one game-winning drive, the three chances that Davis Mills had. Week two, if you get decent quarterback play, you win that. This past week against Chicago, one throw was the difference. You don't throw an interception in the end zone, you win that game, whether it's the field goal, whether you punch it in and get into the end zone. If the Texans had Cooper Rush, they'd be 3-0. Would it be like a Fugazi fake 3-0? Absolutely it would. But that part of that's the NFL. They would be 3-0 if they had Cooper Rush as the quarterback for the Houston Texans.
I don't disagree with you because I've been doing that exercise a lot more recently. I've been going, you know, would the Texans be better with this quarterback as a just kind of in evaluating Davis Mills and making sure I'm doing it fairly. And honestly, Jeremy, I think as much as when you look at that Bears game, I mean, that was the one that I was kind of on the fence and go, yeah, I don't think with Justin Fields, the Texans win any of the three games.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you can't play Justin Fields against Justin Fields, but I'm saying Justin Fields in the first two games, I don't feel like they win because he's better than Davis Mills.
Right.
But I think there's plenty of other guys in this league that I see, including Cooper Rush, that I go, yeah, if they had him, yeah, they win at least one.
Hey, look, Cooper's not special. Like, he's not going to be a franchise quarterback, although, like, at the end of the season, if there's teams that desperately need quarterback, I could see Cooper Rush getting an audition somewhere, getting a chance somewhere. And look, he wasn't great yesterday. 215 yards, 21 for 31. That's solid, though. I mean, the accuracy is at least there. And look, CeeDee Lamb had a rough start to that game yesterday. He had a great catch towards the end of it, though. That kind of was the difference in that game. But Cooper Rush gives you like an element of consistency at the quarterback spot for the Dallas Cowboys. My rule of thumb with backup quarterbacks is go 500 while the starting quarterback is out. Keep your team afloat. Cooper Rush is 2-0. And Cooper Rush has done it in some ways where, look, is it all on his shoulders? No, it's not. But you shouldn't expect a backup quarterback to do that. You shouldn't expect a quarterback that's anywhere like bottom half of the NFL, quarterback 17 through 32, to do that, which is where Davis Mills is at. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Davis Mills' ineptitude of trying to go out and win games. He's had opportunities in each one of these 3 weeks, the Colts game, the Broncos game, the Bears game, to put the team on his back, go out and win it, and he's been incapable of doing that. Cooper Rush has done the opposite. Cooper Rush has shown us, oh, he can lead a game-winning drive. Oh, he could beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, he could beat
the
New York Giants.
I think the Bengals game was the biggest one, the impactful one of all of it so far. No one gave them a chance in that game. And then coming in, there were a ton of people just picking him apart before he even took a snap this season as a guy that was inadequate with his arm strength and other things and incapable of doing it. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it raised everybody's eyes going, whoa. And then when he follows it up with this, and you go, you know what? They probably should have won by a larger margin if CeeDee Lamb doesn't drop the ball in the first half. You go, he can play a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit of a struggle, and it's frustrating to watch Cooper Rush put together what has been a solid two games. I'm not even saying good. Like, it's just been solid. And it's amazing like what solid can get you in the NFL. The rest of the team keeps you in the game. You don't make a mistake late in the game. Maybe you have a critical drive at the right time. It doesn't even need to be a touchdown drive. Just go get points, right? Just sustain a drive. What were we talking about in week one against the Colts? I didn't even need Davis Mills to score points. Go get a first down. Yeah. You get a first down, you win that. A first down, you win that game. And that's what solid quarterback play can give you. Because Cooper Rush isn't a franchise dude. Cooper Rush is not a superstar. Nobody's going to pay Cooper Rush tons of money. But Cooper Rush is better than Davis Mills. And there is still, after three abysmal games, people that say, oh, Davis Mills is just fine. Oh, Davis Mills isn't the reason the Texans stink. It's Pep Hamilton. It's lack of talent from the receivers. It's just a bad offensive line. It's the defense giving up all of these yards. And while those things can be true, Davis Mills is worse than Cooper Rush. They'd be 3-0 if they had Cooper Rush.
I completely agree. And I think that at a certain point, though, when you look at it, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, do you want to be 3-0? I mean, you know, look.
If you told me that at the start of the year, that you're going to be 3-0, I would have taken it.
Okay.
Because, I would have taken it. But I see your point.
Because it's come down to a deeper discussion these days as it relates to, and it's funny, Embrace the Sucks getting mentioned more and more, because it's one thing for the fan base that said, no, I want to win at all costs. And then it's another thing when the fan base starts coming back to reality and realizes, hey, this is tough to take, but it may be the best thing, and it really should. It seems like it's the best thing for the franchise. But, yeah, I mean, that's the other part of the question. Do you want to? But with Cooper Rush, would you? And I think unequivocally, I would say I'm on board with you that you would.
713-780-ESPN. Cooper Rush better than Davis Mills or the Killer Bees, just wacky. 713-780-3776. Our HRMP listener line, we're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Also, when we return, the logic that the Texans aren't a quarterback away. Is that true? And what's the caveat there? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cooper Rush, better than Davis Mills, 713-780-ESPN. Todd, the show says that Daniel Jones is better than Davis Mills. Is that true? 713-780-3776.
I truly think so.
I think Daniel Jones is about who he is. I think he's somewhere between the 22nd through 27th best quarterback in the world. I would say that's a better range than Davis Mills.
I would say the way he ran last night, the way he stepped up in the pocket last night, and when he wasn't running for his life, some of the throws that he made last night, especially out routes and such, made me believe he's a way better quarterback than Davis Mills, and I think he can play.
I hesitate to say, like, I mean,
I didn't say,
play,
no, look, I'm not
play
say
is a relative
10.
Term, right? Play is a relative term, so yep. It kind of depends on what it means for you. If I would be in this, like, if I'm the Giants, I'm desperate. Look, it's why the Giants didn't pick up his fifth-year option. They don't believe that they can go deep into the playoffs with Daniel Jones, which I agree with. I don't think that Daniel Jones is, like, this playoff winner type of a quarterback.
I think that he's a starting quarterback in the NFL for somebody.
I think he'd be perfect for, like, Tennessee.
I think that's a good call. I think that if he's got established weapons around him, but the key is, too, he can run, but you don't want him to.
Well, I disagree with that.
I don't think you don't want him to unless he has to.
Like RPOs are one thing. I think that's the best thing he does is run.
The other thing that scares me is he doesn't slide a whole lot.
But I don't care if he gets hurt because he's not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Like you can be.
But is he top 15?
I wouldn't know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think he's there yet, but I think he could be.
Man, he's already been in the league a little while. This is his fourth year.
Yeah, but he's been injured a lot.
Yeah,
he's been through a ton of coaches and coordinators.
That's true.
But
that's true.
I mean, I think if you look at a ceiling between him and Davis Mills, I actually think he has a higher ceiling because he's already proven that he can actually be effective in games.
No argument there. Like, I don't think Daniel Jones is as good as like maybe you do. I feel like we're a little bit off on where we would put Daniel Jones.
Carolina.
But I do think he's better than Davis Mills.
I think he's better than Darnold, and I think he could be better than Baker.
That's a reach for me. I don't know if I can say that he'd be better than Baker. To me, he's kind of like in the Mitch Trubisky mold. Like maybe slightly better than Mitch.
Although better than Trubisky.
He doesn't have the accolades that Trubisky does. He doesn't have the accolades that Mitch does.
And I'm not being smartass here, but what accolades does Trubisky
have? Been to the playoffs, been to a Pro Bowl. Daniel Jones has done neither.
Pro Bowls, you know, as well as I do, are over.
I'd rather have a quarterback who's done it than hadn't.
Okay. Well, I mean, he hasn't finished a season, I don't think, yet, injury-wise, to where you could say that. You know, he's even finished a season to be evaluated as a Pro Bowl quarterback. And he's also had a crap team around him and crap management and coaching. But
that's true. I mean, there's no argument there. Corey asking us on the text line, 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. How good is the Dallas front seven? Is it as good as they look or the lines they have been playing? Cincinnati's line is terrible.
It's a combination.
The Bengals line is terrible. Giants are a little bit better.
Giants line is terrible.
It's not as bad as Cincy's.
No, but I mean, that's not saying much either.
I think it's a little better.
But I think that, look, I'm never going to take anything away from Micah Parsons and Randy Gregory. He had three last night.
He had three?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he had that many.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the box score.
But, I mean, overall, I think it's a combination. It's bad offensive line play and a couple of guys that can be truly dominant no matter how you match up against them. And so I'm not gonna crap on the Cowboys' defensive front seven, but they're also, you know, opportunistic to take advantage of what's in front of them.
1509. So what y'all saying is that Caserio should draft a quarterback? We've been saying that since the beginning of 2021.
I said there was no possible scenario when he shouldn't, where he shouldn't.
Yep, we agree on that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Paul did a video on Sports Map Houston. Paul looks great on camera. You should definitely check it out with he and Brandon Strait.
Just ask him.
I'm saying that because we have Sean with us, who's producer of Paul Gallant's show.
Sean's paid to worship
Sean, Paul. I want to ask you this. He's paid to worship him?
Yeah.
Whereas Brendan's not paid to worship him, and he still does.
That's weird, right? That's where the problem lies.
We just figured out what Brendan's doing today. Paul was dressed up a little bit nice.
Oh.
Brendan took the day off. Maybe they're having a little bit of lunch tomato soup at La Madeline. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What was Gallant's take on this? Because, like, I felt like the headline on the Sports Map video wasn't exactly what, like, it seemed a little bit off to me.
What? Clickbait?
It wasn't clickbait. It just wasn't, like, as hard-hitting as I thought it would be. What's Gallant's thought on the whole the Texans aren't a quarterback away? Do you know what it is, Sean?
I think it's basically that there's just more holes on this team that he also does not like Davis Mills.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a, plug-in, quarterback X, and now all of a sudden this team's awesome. Like you're saying, if they had Cooper Rush, they could be 3-0, but they would be Fugazi 3-0.
Yep, right.
That they aren't a quarterback away in that there's still holes all over the place.
See, I don't really disagree with Paul. I want to be very clear with that at the very beginning. The Texans do have a lot of holes. If they did have a quarterback, how good are they really? And kind of like to me, the term, the Texans aren't a quarterback away. Away from what? Like, define that for me, because that is very important to the equation whenever you have this conversation.
Is that playoffs? Is that playing for a wild card but not getting there?
Right.
What is that?
If you're saying that being away is like a Super Bowl contender, yeah, the Texans aren't even close to being just a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. But if that conversation, if you want to move the goalpost here a little bit, and that's why I don't really disagree with Paul, because I'm not sure what Paul defines those goalposts to be. If you just said playing games that have significance late in the year, can they be in playoff contention? Because playoff contention versus Super Bowl contender are two very different and drastic things. Mm-hmm. The Eagles got to the playoffs at 9-8 last year. So if that's the relative term, the Texans aren't a quarterback away from being 9-8, I would disagree with that. I would also add the caveat to the fact that they could, you might be able to sell on me that they're not a Bryce Young away. They're not a Will Levis away from being whatever you want away to mean for you. But they could very well be a quarterback and an offseason away from playing meaningful games next season. Look, we just said Cooper Rush, who nobody was on nobody's radar. The Texans would be 3-0 if they had Cooper Rush. Look, I think Will Levis is a better prospect. I think that Bryce Young's a better prospect. I think C.J. Stroud, I have some concerns about him that we'll get to a little bit later with C.J. Stroud. That worries me a bit, but all of those guys I would have more belief in than Cooper Rush, than Davis Mills. Would they have growing pains, rookie pains? Absolutely. That's going to happen in the NFL. See Trevor Lawrence last year. See Peyton Manning if you want to go old school and with a vintage motto. But the Texans also have more than one first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
They have multiple third-round draft picks. They have their full allotment of picks. Nick Caserio is coming off a draft where he drafted.
Nailed it.
Nailed it, right? It seems that way through three games.
Nailed.
Stingley looks great. Petrie looks great. We don't know with Mechie. Hope he gets well. We don't know yet with Harris. Hope that works out. But even he's had some late
still,
pickups.
He nailed it.
Damian Pierce.
GMs would love to have a fourth rounder start for them the first year.
The Texans this year, at minimum, have added, I would say, four foundational pieces.
I agree. We talked about yesterday.
Stingley, Kenyon Green, Petrie, Damian Pierce, and the potential of two more. The Texans are going to have that whole allotment of draft picks next year. So if you just want to say, well, they're on pace to get four more foundational pieces for the Texans, okay, I think that's fair to say. Also, next season, the Texans have about the most cap space in the entire NFL. The Texans gave up over 250 yards rushing against Chicago. You could fix that like that because of the cap space that you have and the draft arsenal that you have. So I'll listen to the thought that the Texans are more than a quarterback away. But I don't think they're more than a quarterback and an offseason away from playing meaningful I've said games, this, contention type games.
I'm not Nick Caserio, but when we were trying to discuss formulating what the plan, when we kept saying, is there a plan? And then what is that plan? And I said, after 2 years of embracing the suck, that's when you can be open to the idea of dabbling in free agency and getting guys that you didn't get in your draft this upcoming offseason, and you can fortify other position groups by using free agency and all the money you're speaking of. First of all, let me be very clear. I misspoke. DeMarcus Lawrence had 3 sacks last night. Randy Gregory's was with the Cowboys. He's with the Broncos. I get him mixed up sometimes, but yes, DeMarcus Lawrence. From the perspective of the discussion that you just said with Paul, the big thing for me is, there's no way that anybody in their right sane mind would say they're a quarterback away from being whatever you think that should be for them yet. But because of last year's draft, because of the Watson trade, because of the multitude of picks that you have, as you just highlighted, because of the fact that every pick you made a year ago, for the most part, and meaningful pick from the fourth round up, looks like they're going to be here for a while and be significant players making a difference. That means you're on the right track. So, obviously, there's plenty of position groups, and off the top of my head, you can go tight end right off the bat. You got to improve that position. Your receiver, you only have one, and he might not be here long. And the other one that you drafted in the third round, you don't even know what he is or could be. The one you drafted this last year, you're hoping he just gets to be a healthy human being first. Yeah. So you need some receivers. Lovie has indicated he'd like better linebackers. We'll see what Christian Harris is, but Christian Kirksey, regardless of whether you watch NFL Network or not, with James Palmer, he's not a star, and he's barely an NFL player.
Yeah, James Palmer called him a star.
Yeah, so you need some help there, but you can go out and get them. And I think that we know the most important position on the field, bar none, is quarterback. And we know that right now they don't have one. They might have a backup at best. So when you think about that, you realize, I've been harping over all along, there's no scenario where you don't take a quarterback. And that was even if Davis Mills played out of his mind. But now that you know Davis Mills isn't playing out of his mind, it's even more important you get one now so that as you add these pieces, they can all get better together with the best player and the most important player on the field improving with the guys he's going to be there with.
713-780-ESPN. Yes, the Texans are more than a quarterback away, but you can see the scenario. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel of how they can get those players, cap space, draft capital, all of that. The best chance they have to get that franchise quarterback is a little bit of sacrifice in 2022. 713-780-ESPN asking you the question, are the Texans a quarterback away? What else do they need to be, you know, back, or whatever phrase you want to use to define, you know, what is more than a quarterback away? 713-780-3776 is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I'm going to be out at TDECU Stadium on Friday, as should you. Yeah, it's under the lights. It's Friday night, under the lights, Houston and Tulane, the American Conference opener, final American Conference opener for the Houston Cougars. And I hope that I'll see you out there as well. Cougars taking on 3-1 Tulane in a blackout game Friday night underneath the lights. They want you at the stadium, and they mean it. You know why? Because the tickets start at just $10 for some Friday night football. Head over to uhcougars.com. Give them a call, 713-GO-COUGS. Get on campus early to enjoy all the tailgating. Opens up at 2 o'clock. Cougar Walk begins at 3:45. You don't want to miss that. Watch the team enter the stadium. Don't miss the pomp and circumstance of college football. Special halftime performance as well as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. The U of H Mariachi Pumas in the spirit of Houston, joined together to perform at the half. Entertainment by the cheerleaders, Cougar Doll, Shasta, and Sasha. Also, DJ Yobi Yobes in the student section. Tickets only $10 while supplies last, though. They're going fast. So head over to uhcougars.com or call 713-GO-COUGS. Don't miss Houston Tulane Friday night under the lights. Don't miss all the fun and pageantry of college football. Come early, be loud, and wear black.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Lance McCullers been scratched from his start tonight. They say it's only an illness, though. They say it's just because he's sick.
When did that happen?
Just now. Just now on the Twitter.com.
Well, you're supposed to tell Sean breaking news and play the...
Do we have that? Do we even have a breaking news sounder? Yeah, I'm unaware of that.
With or without the internet, I think you can go to that one.
I thought you could just do it on your own.
What do you think? I got a soundboard here?
You do good impersonations. You do good sounds.
Well, you didn't even give me the heads up. You just came right out with it.
Let's start over.
Breaking news. Boom, boom, boom.
You're better than that. I think you could have done better. But yeah, Lance McCullers will not pitch tonight. He's been scratched.
The monster truck?
No. Okay. I don't know why we would need a monster truck for who's pitching tonight for
you
the
want
Astros.
The rock and roll concert?
No, okay. No, I want baseball sounds because it's Lance McCullers who's been scratched.
Did you say baseball sounds? Did we have a, Sean, do you have the breaking news music? Or?
No, we don't have that kind of stuff.
No, I'm not seeing it on Brendan's pay.
Yeah, we don't, we spare all expenses with the Killer Beers. That's what we do.
Killer Beers and Killer Beers.
I've had a one too many.
We're rolling today.
But yeah, the Astros announcing that Lance has been scratched due to illness. So illness is the, I guess, the key word there. Because I'd rather him miss the start because of an illness as opposed to like a right elbow or a right shoulder. But just keep that in mind if maybe you want to bet the game. Luis Garcia, though, will be making the start in his stead, which is fantastic.
Thankfully, the magic number down to two.
Magic number is down to two. I'm not worried about that.
Me either, but the Blue Jays did us a solid and extras, walk-off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The thought that the Texans aren't a quarterback away... I believe that they are a quarterback in an offseason away. If you just stacked a quarterback with this year's offseason, I think that the Texans are capable of playing meaningful games. I'm not saying they're going to be in the playoffs next year, especially with a rookie quarterback, but games that matter, games where you're in contention, games where you're going to NRG Stadium in December where a win could get you in type of stuff. 713-780-ESPN. 6602 says, how could you say that? I think whenever we said Cooper Rush isn't as good as some of these rookies, you already seen what Cooper Rush could do in the NFL. You don't know what these other guys can do in the NFL. I think that's a dumb point of view. If you asked any general manager in the NFL, 32 of them, you can have Cooper Rush or you can have one of the three of Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and Will Levis. What do you think the answer is going to be? You think it's going to be Cooper Rush or one of the three rookies coming into the NFL
next
year?
Pretty sure it's one of the three rookies.
And you can have your pick.
That's right.
You can have your pick if you have pick number one.
That's absolutely right.
So that's how I could say that, 6602. Every general manager. We'll have Randy Mueller on a little bit later in the show, 2 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts, former NFL general manager.
Can we, by the way, we can put this out publicly because Twitch brought it up, and it's a hell of an idea. Speaking of the Killer Bees and the Killer Beers, we need to find out if we can get Howard Balza back on.
It's not Mark Hall.
I know, but
it's
I'm
above
gonna,
our pay grade.
I need to talk to some people because I miss Howard Balza.
I do miss Howard, yeah.
It was fun.
He's probably not having a great time to the start of his season.
No, because he, like you, is an over-the-top Kyler Murray lover.
He is. 713-780-ESPN. Matt on the text line. Matt's from Beaumont. Texans defense. You guys, we need a middle linebacker. There's no argument about that. The linebackers on this team are mediocre. Like middle linebacker, mid linebacker. That's what the Texans have across the board. In fact, they don't like their linebackers so play, or their linebacker play so much that against the Chicago Bears team, who is one dimensional, who is not throwing the football since like the likes that we've not seen since 1982, they run for 280 yards. And the Texans despise their linebackers so much that they're running nickel defense because they can only have two of their linebackers on the field. They got away from their 4-3, went to a nickel against a heavy run attack. Why? Because their linebackers are awful. But that's why the draft class helps. It's why free agency helps. We think that the best linebacker on this team, at least from like a potential point of view, from a promise point of view, is Christian Harris.
Yep.
Hope to get him back soon. And he would probably be an immediate impact on a linebacker crew that's not very good. But if you can add one Christian Harris this past year, you probably can add another one in next year's draft class and then free agents to help out there as well. I really think that you're an offseason away from shutting down that entire running game for the opposition. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's Coach AJ. Coach AJ, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm driving in my car, so I can hear you a little bit. First of all, I'm a Cowboy fan. Hey, we're celebrating the day. We got our win. But I cheer for the Texans because I live in Houston. The comparison between Rush and Mills, I don't know, guys. Rush has been in the NFL a little bit longer, obviously. And he had to take over for Dak 2 years ago, so he has a lot more experience. Davis Mills really hasn't played a lot of football. This is his second year as a starter. He's young. I really don't know what he's going to be like, to be honest with you. But I know one thing. If I'm a coach, the players, they don't have a choice but to rally around him, help him build his confidence, and make it happen. Now, other guys got to take on more responsibility because always the pressure is always on the quarterback, regardless of what team it is. Now, did he make a couple of mistakes? Yeah, he fumbled. That put him in a bad situation, and the interception basically gave the game away. But I like what Lovie Smith says, right? I like the fact that I'm like that as a coach too. There's so many other opportunities that we didn't capitalize on that we should, and we didn't, and then we put ourselves in this position for that to happen. Not making an excuse because he can't do that, but they don't have a choice but to rally around him.
Appreciate the call, AJ. Make it more of a habit. Yep. Appreciate the insight. Look, Lovie Smith did say that. Lovie Smith said, look, all the plays over the course of a game, it shouldn't come down to the final interception that got the Chicago Bears in field goal range, and then it was a chip shot for Cairo Santos. He also said that they can't have turnovers in that spot. He also was very critical of the Houston Texans in the goal-to-go situation when Davis Mills forced it into traffic on a second down that got tipped into the air and picked off instead of putting it through the uprights. Lovie also said that they screwed up on some RPO stuff, which rests solely on the shoulders of Davis Mills. Lovie has also said that the offense has to get better and they can't win with the way that the offense is playing. So, like, there's a lot of things that Lovie has said where, yeah, he's not going to throw Davis Mills under the bus. But if you listen to him and you talk and you listen to him about the state of the offense, he's pretty open about the state of the offense. And the state of the offense a lot of times rests solely on the shoulders of the quarterback. I realize that Cooper Rush has been in the league longer than Davis Mills. I understand the Davis Mills inexperience, things like that. Didn't play a whole lot in college. Davis Mills has thrown 501 passes in his NFL career. Cooper Rush has thrown 125.
Ooh.
Davis Mills has seen more NFL live regular season football than Cooper Rush has.
Now that right there is some great insight from Jeremy Branham. My whole thing is when you look at it, obviously every quarterback has to step up and their teammates have to support them, but you still have to do your job to get the team where it needs to go. And I think that Davis Mills has shown that he cannot do that, and he definitely cannot do it consistently. And Cooper Rush, obviously it's a small sample size from this season, but he's doing that. And sure, the argument again is going to be that from Coach AJ, and don't sell yourself short, Coach AJ. If you say you're a coach, you're a coach. So don't say if I was a coach, because you are. The thing is, when you look at what they've done and the way they've gone about their business, there's plenty to blame to be distributed around. We talked about this yesterday with the Texans. You can point to Pep. You can point to other position groups. You can point to, you know, this play or that play. But it all starts with the most important position on the field, and that's why we're talking about Davis Mills all the time. That's why we're analyzing Cooper Rush. That's why we're saying if we had better quarterback play in the first three games of this season, you might have three wins because it's the most important position on the field, because the plays that came out of that position directly were correlated to the team losing football games. And no matter how much you can say in the middle of the game here or in this quarter there, these things happen that were also mistakes. The most impactful mistakes, the ones that are the most noticeable and regrettable, are the ones coming out from Davis Mills.
I also don't think it's like the huge separation between what you need out of the quarterback to be 3-0. And look, we've even talked about you beat Indy, you beat Denver, you beat Chicago. It's kind of a fake 3-0, but it's still 3-0 in the NFL. And there's a lot of games in the NFL where you beat because of the opponent not being very good, and you have to capitalize on that to have a good win-loss record at the end of the year. If you start 3-0, you go 6-8 the rest of the way, you're above 500.
I forget how when they do those percentages. You start 3-0, the percentage that you make in the playoffs goes up like exponentially, like 30-40%.
If we're sitting here talking right now, the Texans are 3-0. They have to win 6 of their next 14 games to have a winning record and potentially be a playoff team. So, like, yeah, the Texans probably aren't there yet in terms of the roster, in terms of the talent, but you have a much different perspective on this team. And also the fact that they're 3-0. Like, if you start 3-0, the outlook for the team from a city perspective is like, oh, maybe this team's, you know, better than we thought. Maybe they're, because you like, this is going to sound weird, you kind of overrate the victories, right? Like, if you win all three of those games, suddenly, oh, the Texans are great. Well, you lost all three, and you lost them all very, very close, and people are talking about the number one draft pick. So, like, the difference in the range isn't a whole lot. Like, it's not that big. But the play that you need from the quarterback position from what Davis Mills has given you really isn't that big either. Like, we're talking about Cooper Rush, not Peyton Manning. Like, we're not saying, well, if the Texans had Peyton Manning, they'd be 3-0. No! We're saying if they had some other dudes, other team's backup quarterback, they would be 3-0. So, like, I understand that the Texans have more holes to fix. They gave up 200 and whatever yards on the ground against Chicago. That's unacceptable. It's not good enough. Lovie Smith is a defensive mind, should be embarrassed, especially running a nickel defense. The personnel is a big part of it because you're running nickel because you don't trust your third linebacker and you'd rather have Desmond King on the field against a run-first team. That shows you the state of the linebackers. Lovie talked about the front four. They have to be better, you know, being in their assignments, being in their lanes, have to be better tacklers, all of that stuff. The talent level can always go up on any NFL team. It can certainly go up on this team. But the Texans are in a position, especially if they lose, where they can get all of that in one offseason. You can get the quarterback with your pick. You can get another first-rounder with Cleveland's pick. You have your full draft arsenal, and Nick Caserio has done a good job of tearing this down, where the Texans will be in a position to strike in the offseason with all the cap money they have.
This is where it's baffling to me, Jeremy, because it happens so frequently with, and there's a select few that just can't get off their soapbox with it either, but there are still portions of the Texans fan base that don't understand. This isn't like replacing a running back or a linebacker or a guard. This is replacing or finding the most important position on the football field, where just getting it done a little bit isn't good enough.
Right.
And it is clearly and directly associated with wins and losses on a consistent basis in this league. And it has been proven that not only how important a quarterback is, but the salary structure and the impact that that has on the rest of the roster, because it's all centered around that position, is what you have to get right. And you know right now, eye test analytically otherwise, no matter how you look at data or analyze a player, he's not getting it done. And he's not getting it done to a level that it has to be done for your team to take the next step up and the step after that and continue to progress and do the things necessary for you to get back where you once were and then hopefully beyond that. And that's what you have to take into consideration. We're not picking on Davis Mills the person, but we're picking apart what we see on a weekly basis and a play-by-play basis on the football field as the quarterback of the Houston Texans. And he's not getting it done. And the reason why we're comparing him to the backup quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys or other quarterbacks in this league is because quarterbacks with less snaps are getting more things accomplished by doing the things you're supposed to do as an NFL quarterback, not staring down receivers, going through your progressions, taking the easy play, bailing out with a play that might lose two or gain two instead of losing 10 to 15, hanging on to the football, doing some simple things that can help your team advance in the game, in the standings, and as a franchise. That's why it's so important. It's the quarterback. It's not the damn kicker or the tight end or the linebacker.
I have an example of why great quarterback, I would take that. We talk about this all the time, but there's another example that I want to point to. Great quarterback versus a great team minus the great quarterback. Also, look, we're going to start evaluating quarterbacks in college football because we think the Texans desperately need one. Watching Justin Fields on Sunday is why I'm scared of CJ Stroud. I'll explain next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Houston Tulane blackout game, American Conference opener, the last first American Conference game for the Houston Cougars. Tulane 3-1, good opponent on Friday night, blackout game, and it's time to give away some tickets. Giving away a pair of tickets to Friday Night Lights, Houston Tulane. Right now to caller number 3. Clayton Toon wears number 3. So number 3 to 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You're headed to the Houston Tulane game. If you didn't win, well, tickets start at just $10, so it's almost like getting them for free. Head over to uhcougars.com, 713-GO-COUGS, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month at halftime. The U of H Mariachi Pumas in the spirit of Houston joining together for performance at the half. And then just a good football game. Tulane, really good team under Willie Fritz. And the Houston Cougars have their hands full on Friday, and they want you there helping out and supporting the hometown team. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll get to the C.J. Stroud thing in just a moment. Somebody texting in saying, from Kentucky, love Will Levis, think we could get him. Look, if you have the first pick of the NFL draft, you can get whoever the heck you want.
Yep.
So there you go. So, yeah, I think that they could get Will Levis. And there was some, like, I forget who put this together, the odds of which NFL teams will land the number one pick in this year's NFL draft. The Texans have the highest odds. Mm-hmm. So if you're an embrace the suck follower, if you embrace the suck, then you should be happy creator. With some of those numbers. Or the creator, as you were.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you've been very high on him. I think the thing to me is, of all the things that you can nitpick Nick Caserio, and you can get into analyzing what he does well and what he doesn't do so well, I think we can both agree that analyzing talent seems to be a thing that he's not too bad at because of what he's been able to do in his first two drafts and the way he's been able to manipulate a no-trade clause into getting more picks to where I feel confident he'll do the right thing with the majority of those picks. And you're not going to hit on all of them, but the fact that if you get into a position where he gets his pick of whichever the top three or four quarterbacks are, and he gets a chance to really work them out and break them down and see what he thinks, you know, their characteristics are and how they fit the team he's trying to build, I believe he'll get it right. I believe he'll get one of the ones that hit, and whether it's a Patrick Mahomes or a Deshaun Watson, I don't believe he's going to end up with Mitch Trubisky if those are the three on the top of everybody's draft board. So ideally, you'd love to have your pick of the litter and have the top pick of the quarterbacks available. But as long as he does all the due diligence I believe he will do, and you get one of the best two, I believe you're in a great position.
I would be thrilled with either one of those. Will Levis, Bryce Young. I believe, and this is just a theory, I have zero reason to actually, like, I'm not reporting this, it's just a thought and a take. I think Nick Caserio likes big quarterbacks. Every quarterback he's brought into the Houston Texans has been pretty big. Davis Mills is a pretty big quarterback. Kyle Allen's not small. Jeff Driscoll, do we want to call him a quarterback? But then also, if you go back to the New England days, like, how many times did they have small quarterbacks? Never.
Right.
Never.
Ryan Mallett was definitely not small.
So I believe that Nick Caserio would prefer Levis over Young just because he's tiny. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to
Do you think that's selling?
What's that?
I caught myself.
No, but no.
Selling him short? Because
Bryce
I think
Young?
That, yeah, because yes. I think that, I think Bryce Young, different than, and think about, Baker Mayfield was one of the last guys that was criticized, said he was too short. Early on, he looked great. I think that that could be a narrow-minded way of thinking if you know that, look, from an intelligence standpoint, which we've heard way too much of as it relates to Davis Mills and other quarterbacks, but he's smart, he gets it. You've seen what he's done in Alabama in crunch time just by making the right decisions and then being able to execute the right plays that I would hope that he's not, regardless of what his tendencies have been, I would hope that he is not so narrow-minded as to think, I can't take this guy because he's not as tall as guys I've had in the past.
I prefer Levis a little bit more than Young, so it's not like a size thing, because I'm fine with Kyler Murray. You know that. I'm fine with Drew Brees.
You're right. This, and after Mayfield, Murray was the next one. Yep.
This is always like, whenever we look at college quarterbacks, we always like make a comparison to this great quarterback that we think he could be. Like Levis, to me, the best he could possibly be is like a Josh Allen type. He's a big dude who's mobile, athletic, and has a cannon for an arm, but he also has the accuracy.
Something wrong with that? Because, I mean, look, but by the way, people were ripping all over Josh Allen his first year and a half.
Yeah, no, they were. And the accuracy for Allen was a huge concern. Like, Levis has better accuracy than Allen did coming out of college, but he was playing at Wyoming, whereas Levis is playing at Kentucky, which is a good football program, but not the best in the SEC. Bryce Young, I'm not going to sit here and go, I'm not going to say he's going to be this player, but if we're putting a superstar comp on quarterbacks, my comp for Bryce Young is actually Steve Young. I know he throws with the right arm, not the left arm. But Steve Young was also not very big. He was pretty small. He didn't have, like, his arm was big enough. He had a big enough arm, but it wasn't a laser. It wasn't a cannon, kind of like Bryce Young. But it's intangibles. It's the accuracy. It's the feel. It's the poise in the pocket. It's the ability to leave the pocket but still look downfield. I love both of them. I love Bryce Young and Will Levis. If you give me either one of those guys, I would be bullish on the future of the Houston Texans.
I'm with you. And you know, and I know we're going to get into it further, but because they played my favorite college football team, I paid a little bit closer attention for as much as I could stomach. The fact that what I saw of C.J. Stroud is it falls right into your philosophy that you've always been bullish on, which is that of when you play for a big-time program and you have not only, you know, a big-time program, but you have big-time receivers and skill position players – you can make any quarterback. Davis Mills could look like an absolute stud if he played at Ohio State or Alabama, because the space created that by any receiver running routes against the competition they're playing is unbelievable. And So instead of getting, you know, 5.5 yards of space in college football, when you go to the NFL and it's about 5.5 inches, it's about, you know, a half a football length where you got to throw it into a tight window and you've got to throw it on the run with timing. It's a different ball game.
Yep. I want to piggyback on that just a second, but I want to keep Joe B. holding all that long. Let's get him in here. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Joe B., you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Joe B.?
Hey, what's up, man? Man, I just, first and foremost, I got to tell you guys that y'all were spot on at the beginning of the season, because I was one of these same fans, you know, who was swinging the bat for Davis Mills. And, you know, before the season started, man, you guys were like, hey, man, before y'all just get hyped up on this Davis Mills train, y'all might want to, you know, see what's going on, man. And I can understand after the first game, okay, well, maybe he had a rough outing, but after that second game, man, if that didn't wake people up to the fact that he's not the guy to be playing quarterback in Houston to get some wins, then that's a problem, man. There's something wrong with their psyche or something, man, because apparently they're not watching the games. And they really need to go ahead and let him finish out the season so he can go ahead and lose as many games as he's going to lose, because I see them losing at least 9-10 games, and that's easy. And they need to draft another quarterback. I mean, this guy, he's garbage. He's garbage, man.
Appreciate the call, Joe B. Appreciate you saying what
Thanks,
you
Joe,
what you
for
said.
Listening. Yep.
Look, Davis Mills needs to start every single one of the Texans games if he's healthy.
We both have said that.
For two reasons. One, you're giving him the rope to do what he's going to do to himself. Secondly, look, maybe he proves us wrong. His career is not going to be defined by the first three games of 2022. I know a lot of people have drawn conclusions. Look, we feel pretty strongly about what we think Davis Mills is going to be the rest of the season, but we're also open to the idea that Davis Mills could completely fool us the rest of the way, that he could just flip a switch like that. Is it probable? Absolutely not. Is it plausible? Sure, there is a small chance for it to happen, which is why you have to let him play out the stretch. No one, well, I shouldn't say no one, most people don't think it's going to happen, but you got to see it through. You have to.
You have to, and we both have been adamant that, you know, the worst case scenario is, you know, he suffers an injury where you can't see him play the rest of the season. The fact is you want to know exactly what he could be, and if you've already, you know, seen enough, like I have, to realize he's not the guy. But if he can be a guy as a third-round pick that can be a serviceable quarterback in short periods of work for you as a backup, you have to consider that. You have to look at all the different options. But at the same time, he's doing you a solid by doing what he's done for his first three games, if he does it for 17 games, to put you in the best chance to win next year and beyond. And that's the same way you did him a solid by penciling him as your starting quarterback, actually sharpieing him as your starting quarterback and saying, it's all yours. Here are the keys for one full season.
Yeah.
And the same way the organization did you a solid, do them a solid by quarterbacking the entire year. Obviously, health concerns aside, as long as he doesn't have any injuries. But if he does that for you, there is a massive benefit going forward, and it could be for both of you. But it definitely is for the organization.
And it's probably, you know, also like there's not many teams in the NFL that would have had the luxury to do that. Most teams in the NFL would have also had some sort of real veteran to either compete, or if he's not playing well, that you turn to in a pretty, you know, snap at the finger. A lot of people point to the great defense of the Baltimore Ravens of like, oh, you can win a Super Bowl with a great team even if you don't have a very good quarterback. Whenever you argue that you need a great quarterback, you've been a Packer fan forever. They have Aaron Rodgers, who is fantastic. They had Brett Favre prior to that, who was fantastic. When was the last time that the Packers weren't like a playoff contender?
I mean, thankfully, it's been close to 30 years.
There you go. That's why you need great quarterbacks. The Baltimore Ravens, whenever they won their Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer, they missed the playoffs in three of the next five seasons. Great quarterbacks don't do that.
No.
Great teams, you take an injury, you get bad quarterback play, you don't sustain that level of greatness that you need from great quarterbacks.
Now, and I, you know, because you and I are on board on the same page on all of this, but I will say the argument, although you still make the playoffs, is the Marino philosophy of Marino only can do so much to make your team good enough. There's no argument Dan Marino is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Sure, but are you blaming, like, Marino, or are you blaming the dude that's putting the team around Marino?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the difference being, as I said, that is, are you chasing a Super Bowl or are you chasing the playoffs? Because as we've talked about, look, I think the aspirations for this franchise are far greater than what where they've been before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not playoff appearances, though they obviously they're important, playoff appearances and winning the divisions and winning a playoff game. It's going to areas you've never been before, like AFC championship games, then winning one, then getting to a Super Bowl and winning it, hopefully the same year, but at least if not in multiple years. And that's where you have to have a guy that just isn't good enough. He's one of the better ones during his era of playing, and that's why it's so hard to find, but that's why we're so hypercritical of who we have and who we need and who's out there. Because you don't have what you need right now.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I want to get into the point that you were bringing up about C.J. Stroud and why Justin Fields spooked that whole thing for me. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.